Taylor, Supreme Court nominee.
Blog Talk Radio.
Work representing some detainees at Guantanamo Bay.
The people who were being accused by our government under our constitutional scheme were entitled to representation.
During her Senate confirmation hearing, Jackson said that she worked for the Federal Public Defender's Office and added federal public defenders don't get to pick their clients. Ukraine's president is open to the Vatican playing a role in helping to end the human suffering caused by the ongoing Russian conflict. President Zelensky tweeted a picture of him talking with Pope Francis. He said the conversation was about the difficult humanitarian situation, in addition to Russian troops blocking areas where folks could be helped. An armed individual was on a Greyhound bus outside of Atlanta. Fox 5 reports it's happening in Gwinnett County, northeast of the city. The driver and all the passengers have gotten off the bus. The situation is taking place on the Interstate 85 exit ramp. A Kentucky judge is denying racehorse trainer Bob Baffert's request to stay his 90-day suspension, but is delaying that suspension until April 4th. It was imposed by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission last month after Medina Spirit was disqualified for testing positive for a banned substance. The move allows Baffert's representatives to seek emergency relief through the State Court of Appeals, but essentially removes Baffert from participating in this year's Triple Crown. A legendary painting of Marilyn Monroe is expected to make even more history by becoming one of the most expensive artworks of all time. The famous painting by Andy Warhol is being auctioned at Christie's Auction House in London. If the painting fetches Christie's expected price tag of $200 million, it would become the most expensive piece of 20th century art ever sold. On top of that, if sold at that price, it would become the second most expensive piece of art to ever sell at auction. All proceeds will go to a charity that benefits educational programs and health care for children. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
When you buy health products, you can save up to 50% at VitaminLife.com, the world's largest selection of supplements, herbs, homeopathic, health and beauty products, and more. Choose from VitaminLife.com's 30,000 products from over 700 brands, including Solaray, Jarrow Formulas, New Chapter, Country Life, Source Naturals, Nature's Way, Enzymatic Therapy, Now Foods, Doctor's Best, and Aubrey Organics. Go to VitaminLife.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. We've got a great lineup for you on Transformation Talk Radio today, the Dr. Pat Show. I am going to kick it off in a minute with a very special guest, author Ann J. Clark is joining me here today, Dr. Ann J. Clark, the author of Healing from Great Loss. I'm going to hold that up, but I know Jacob has got a lot of things going on to show all of you. Very important message, you know, so much for our times, but so much in here to help us understand that the process that we experience, whether it's loss or associated loss, as Ann calls it in the book, these are the defining moments in our lives. These are the things that affect us. And then there is also the physical aftermath. There's so much in this book that's so important to talk with you about. And then after this show, you got to listen to Christine Clark. You just have to listen to the show she's doing. Her episode title is called Contact. So Forging a Life comes after this. Just incredible. For those of you out there, I want to welcome you. And you've heard me talk a lot about loss, right? We even did a show, Mark and I did a show last week, an interview with the youngest member of parliament from the Ukraine. And so in those conversations, we talk about loss. We talk about, you know, what are some of the losses that we experience in life, but what about the great losses? You know, what was it in my dialogue with him where he reflected upon the fact you know, that what they're going through today is an aftermath of what they went through in 2014, which most of us kind of forgot. But when we think about this and we think about what Anne has done and the work that she has done as an academic researcher, as somebody that, you know, is directed the Center for Nursing Research. I love that this is what she and I have in common. You know, we love this researching part. But researching without presenting the results is a little bit incomplete. And so today, she's the author of numerous publications, previous books, co-authored, you know, the little book of Life Between Lives, Wisdom Soul, Winter 2020 Coalition. I mean, there's so much. But today's show is about great loss and how to heal from it. And thank you, Dr. Clark. Thank you for joining me here today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
I loved the research part of my academic journey. I loved doing the studies, and like you, a lot of my classmates studied really cool, positive things. They really did. I studied loss and the consequences of psychological contract violation. And so when I was done, unlike you, I did not have the stamina to stay and continue, because what I found was explaining life at the levels that people were experiencing it, but I did not have the resilience at the time to continue. This subject has to be a passion and a purpose for you. It has to be, or you wouldn't have been able to write this book. Tell me about that.
What stimulated my writing of this book was the loss of my daughter. I had lost my mother previously and then my younger brother. I'd also experienced a divorce earlier in life, but nothing hit me like the loss of my daughter did. So the first thing I want to say is not all losses are alike. Every loss hurts, and we must heal from every loss. But some losses are what I term great losses. And what I mean by that is when we experience a great loss, we lose a loved one, a marriage, a relationship, a job, our health, any type of loss, but it takes along with it a piece of our core identity. Or it occurs at a time when we're living life just on the surface and don't really have anything to hold on to in the storm of loss.
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating that we're talking about this, because there is a distinction. And I can only imagine what it's like to lose a child. I haven't had that experience myself. And there probably aren't any words that can explain it. And it really does strike us at a deep, 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 almost in a way that you can't describe it emotionally, right?
Yes. Yes, it really does. When we experience a great loss, we're completely thrown into chaos, because either we have been turning our focus towards someone or something else outside of ourselves, or we've been living such a busy, distracted life that we never take time to examine what's going on inside of us, or perhaps we've found a nice, comfortable niche in life so that we only live on the surface and we never really struggle for any growth.
Yeah.
So when a loss like this hits us, it hits very hard, because that was our anchor, that was our rock, and now suddenly it's gone.
You know, let's talk about, if we could for a minute, you know, and for those of you just tuning in, I want to make sure you know I'm honored to have Dr. Anne Clark joining me here today. You know, her book is Healing from Great Loss, very, very important distinction, Feeling Pain and Grief to Recover Your Authentic Self, because, you know, look, Dr. Anne, look, I think about those close,
great losses, you know, in my life, right? And it's as if a part of me is gone, right?
Yes.
You know, I don't know how else to explain it. And that part of me, somehow, we have to get back. Because I think the way you talk about it in the book is, you know, you talk about what the great loss is, but then you talk about these defining moments. And let's just talk about those for a minute.
Yes, a defining moment is a point at which we make a decision. It's a fork in the road, and it takes us in one direction or another. Now, there are some big defining moments. For example, when we decide who to marry or we decide what career to choose, those are very big defining moments. But the ones that occur after we've experienced the loss are smaller defining moments. It's when opportunities for growth come up, or perhaps a choice we make would leave us where we are without doing anything to really help ourselves heal.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really prepare for a defining moment. Those defining moments come, we can prepare for them, excuse me for saying it that way. We can prepare for them, but we can't know when they're going to come. A defining moment comes without notice, whether we're ready for it or not. And the choices we make will have consequences. They will lead us in one direction or another, but we can prepare for them. And the way we do that is after we've experienced a loss, as soon as we're able to do so, after we've done our initial healing, is we need to start thinking about what we want our life to be like after the loss. What do we want our future to look like? And we need to hold that vision in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then when a defining moment comes along, we will make a choice that moves us in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And even little choices move us in one direction or another. So it's important to think about what we want our future to be like.
Well, I'll tell you, this is so pivotal. And let me just say something. I went back over the holiday. I've had a lot of loss in my life. Really, people suddenly, my mom, my stepmom, my sister, I mean, they were sudden, my mentor, shockingly sudden, unexpected. And then over the holidays, we lost a brother-in-law. And, you know, I wanted to get back to something you said, because I think this is where the point of confusion is for a lot of people. And then I'm going to talk about Dr. Newton's work. The thing you said is once, I'm going to paraphrase because I probably didn't get this right, once we get past our initial grieving. See, that right there, can you talk more about what that looks like? Because a lot of folks don't know that that is part of the process. There are some people like Joan, when Buren passed away, it was take everything out of the closets. We need to take everything out of the house, clothes, shoes, give them away. That was like, boom, like the next day. That was her process. That, now, I'm not saying that was the end of her grieving, but can you talk to this initial grieving part?
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up. First of all, let me say that this book is not for right after you've experienced your loss.
Right.
This book is for later on. We all go through a fairly similar grieving process. It's not one that passes smoothly, but we go through various phases. For example, we go through denial of the loss. We go through anger. We may go through bargaining. We may or may not go through these stages, but we need to go through that initial healing first. And I found that after I had done that, time alone does not heal a loss. What we need is additional healing. And so my book picks up where other books on grieving have left off. We need to engage in an active program of healing in order to come alive again and feel true joy and excitement about our lives again following the loss.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I wanted to be really clear about what the gap that your work really fills. And it is a gap. It is a gap. It's always been a gap for me, you know, in my studies. It's been a gap in looking at loss and looking at loss from many different perspectives. Now, I look at, you know, my research is on loss that doesn't necessarily include great loss, but it could. But across the board, though, there is that initial period, and then there's the now what. And it's the now what where people are at a crossroads, if I may call it. I don't think you used the phrase in your book, but I did underline something in here. And it is that moment where a light bulb of some kind goes on, and you just don't have enough to get you past the initial loss into now moving on with, I don't have another word, but to really moving on with your life. I think you call it, you know, recover your authentic self. And that has been left out of a lot of research. It's been left out of a lot of the conversation. And what you do is you're helping people with this to say there is a life you can create that possibly has joy and happiness in it, right? Oh, there we go. Yes, go ahead. But isn't that, do I have the right
idea? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, you do. I think we come to a point when we've gone through initial stages of grieving, and we just feel kind of dead inside.
Yeah.
It may look from the outside to all our friends and family like we've recovered because we're back to our usual activities, perhaps. But inside, we just feel dead. There's no joy in life anymore. And what we need at this point is we need healing. Yeah. And we must do that actively to get back to a joy-filled, exciting life again. It definitely is possible. We just need to work at it.
First of all, let me congratulate you on taking this conversation on, and I know that this is a body of work for you, and of course, you know, you can always tell when you read a book, the way I've read your book, that it comes from a deep healing place that you have experienced and figured out how to help the rest of the world. I want to talk with you a minute, if we could continue to do this, about some of the emotional, can we call them defining moments? Yes, emotional defining moments. Let me give you an example. Kind of silly, but let me give it to you. I happen to do something physical when I have a big loss. Don't know why. Don't ask me why. Just a thing. Some people get angry. Some people get bitter. It's not in my gene to have resentment. But I will tell you what I do, and this has been since as young as I can remember. I literally shave my head back. Why? I literally do it. I mean, when I lost my job, and, you know, it was this moment when I was younger and I was homeless. What I do? Get the head shaved. I don't have a rhyme or reason. People ask me, they ask me, when am I going to shave my head again? Well, those were moments in my life, and I was young, and I didn't have any tools. The go-to in my family when you had hard times was alcohol and drugs. That's what the whole family, that was the deal, right? That's what killed my birth mom, drugs and alcohol. My sisters, that was our go-to. But I had this other thing I did to express myself. Do you find that we that go through loss like this, that we're longing for a way to express it that may not be as conventional as throwing a vase against the wall, right?
Yes, I think that's definitely true. There are feelings inside of us that are just crying out to be expressed, and we may do that in various ways. I also want to say that that time is a very vulnerable time. After a while, when we've been going through grieving for a period of time, we become restless, and we just don't want to stay in that really sad, good, depressing state for much longer. This is kind of a dangerous time. That is why we really need to start thinking about what we want our life to be like in the future, because if we've not done that, we run the danger of becoming perhaps bitter over it, or we run the risk of going back into focusing on something else outside of ourselves, someone else or something else. if we've lost a relationship, we may recklessly jump into another relationship without truly healing. It just sets us up for another loss. Or we may get over involved in something, another quest or another activity that takes us away, that numbs our feelings. We may spend too much time on the computer. We may play games on our phone.
Oh, stop it. Did you just catch me before, like, playing my solitaire game?
All of those are ways to avoid feeling our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And the way through this is to allow those feelings
mm-hmm.
to come out and deal with them.
I have to tell you, Dr. Ann, I'm calling you Dr. Ann. Is that okay, Dr.
That's perfectly fine.
All right. Your chapter six, I mean, pretty much I've talked about a little bit about setting the stage for about what we're to talk about when we come back from break. The body of work you present now, and this is just a book. I know this is more than a book for you. You work with people. You help people. So this is just a book to express what you're doing and how you're doing it and what you discovered. After reading this, I was reminded of something. And can I just read this sentence from your book
yes.
for a minute? Do you mind? Okay.
Yes. Please
this
do.
Was pivotal because I didn't expect it to show up here in this chapter, Coping with the Physical Aftermath of Great Loss. You could go open that chapter a million ways, right? But you say, as a soul, we value loss because of the opportunity it affords us for spiritual advancement. That
yes.
is a gap that we don't know how to fill, and because you articulated it, you give us this. Because part of what loss has been for so many people, and correct me if I'm wrong, is when we go through a major loss or a great loss, and losing a child is one. The loss of my job was another one. The loss of a dear relationship was another one. You know, they're hard to explain, right? But the disconnection that I've experienced in my life, when those things happen, in my past, I would run away from spirit, God. Whatever people want to call this, I would look to that spiritual foundation I had, and it failed me. It broke its promises to me, so I thought. But you're coming out of the gate, and this is such a rich part of your book, but you're coming out of the gate, and you're reminding us that there is a solution that 99.9% of the people probably don't think about. I got to ask you, you could have started that chapter with any sentence, but you didn't. Tell me about what you discovered about this part, about the soul and spiritual advancement, if you could.
Well, first of all, I want to say that one of the questions we always ask after we've experienced a great loss is why. Why did this happen to me?
Yep.
And the answer that I provide in the book is that we are souls who come to Earth to grow, learn, and enjoy here on Earth. We come here with a purpose, and we plan our lives ahead of time. Most likely, the loss that we've experienced was pre-planned by us, or at least the possibility of it was pre-planned. And the reason for pre-planning that loss is that we learn and grow as souls immeasurably from the experience of loss. We become more passionate, compassionate. We become more sensitive. We become more understanding. We grow in soul character. And our job is to pull that into our human character as well so that we become better people.
And can I ask you this? Because we're going to take a short break in here a minute. Are there, in your opinion, are there instances of great loss that may not relate to the loss or the death of a person in your definition here in the book?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It could be the loss of a job. It could be financial ruin. It yep. could be a health crisis.
Yep.
Any loss that is major to you and causes you great concern, I would label as a great loss.
Well, I want to talk to you about this when we get back, but before we do, and I want to weave in Dr. Newton's work because I think you just hit the trifecta of what people experience. And, boy, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the loss that people have experienced over the past 30 months or so.
Yes.
I mean, we are not talking about that enough. You know, Dr. Ann, when we went through the economic turn in 07, 08, 09, and we had the most popular forum on all of the networks for what we were doing and what we were talking about. And then the economy changed, and no one talked about the generations of people that were born during that period of time. We didn't talk about how to heal the people that felt their promises were broken to them, and they still walk the earth now. And so when we come back, I want to talk with you about the multidimensional aspect of what you have in your book and how we can take these steps forward to really heal. How do we reclaim ourselves? How do we get ourselves back? Because it's true. When I go through things, I don't know what it is. I'm telling you, when every relationship I've had, I've colored my hair a different color. Every job loss I've ever had, I've shaved my head. Every financial loss, I've shaved my head. It's really an interesting, and I think it's an old soul thing. Probably I'll have to go to my therapist and get some past life regression done. But it was a relief for me to do it. And people ask me, why do you do it? And I don't have words, but you have the words in your book. How do we get a copy of your book, Dr. Ann? How do we find out about you?
The Great Loss, Healing from Great Loss, is available online or in any bookstore, wherever you get your books. There's also there's an e-book, there's a paperback, and there's also an audio book.
Oh, look at this question that just came from our listeners. Okay, we have the best audience on the planet. Dr. Pat, are you going to get like the chick in the movie Billions? Yes, Asia Kate, yes. And by the way, when I do shave my head, I got ears just like her. Let's take a short break, everybody. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Ann and understand why this part has been missing from the conversation in psychology. From my perspective, what is it we discovered about it? And why is it that even 10 to 15 years after an event, at least in my research, people are still grieving and crying over broken promises, losses, job loss, 15 years later, 15 years, in all of those interviews, crying. Dr. Ann's got the answer and the solution. Stay tuned, Benny, Jacob, we'll be right back.
In that Sunday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, me, Yvonne, and the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie,
and me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we connect you with your crossover loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities.
For more information and to book your own private experience, go to shadesofspirit.com and also follow us on transformationtalkradio.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Coach Martez.
And I'm licensed therapist Adrenalation.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Martez to Adrenalation show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insights on how to turn things around and gain the merit for life mindset.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You know, I believe in the strength of my spiritual practice now. And like everybody else, I wake up with doubt some days, especially when you're in the seat that I'm in right now and you've been creating something that's so close and you get more challenges than you've imagined that you've ever had before. And, you know, one of my mentors used to say to me, the greater the challenge, the greater the reward, and I hold on to that. But also there is an element of loss or fear of loss or what to do with loss. And, you know, what Dr. Ann Clark has done in this book, Healing from Great Loss, this is so critical. It is the missing piece that I discovered in my research. And, of course, I left academic world, so I didn't continue it, but Ann did. And so what we're going to talk about now is we're going to talk about how this process is different than what you've heard and how it becomes so critical to get yourself back. And before we keep going, how do people get, I want to thanks to our friends, I think this came from Kat. Yeah, I want to thanks to our friends at Llewellyn. Thank you, Kat. Thank you for sending Ann our way. And Ann, how do we find out about you, your work, all of the above, all the other books you've written?
Yes. Well, my book is available at any place that sells books. It's just all over the place. To reach me, my website is www.BirminghamHypnosis.com. That's Birmingham, Alabama.
Yep.
BirminghamHypnosis.com. And I do offer past life regressions and life between lives sessions.
You come back so we can talk about the power of those. I hope you will come back.
Yes, I would love to.
We can only get what's on the book. And I hope our friends at Llewellyn work with you to create a deck of cards around what you have in here. Because
That's an interesting idea.
It came from me to you, to Llewellyn, Kat, because you're presenting something that is missing in the conversation. And we need tools. Can you imagine creating a card deck that people can pull from every day to get some of the messages? Imagine pulling a card that says, this is an opportunity for spiritual advancement. But let me keep going. The rest of the book, the beginning of the book set the stage for how this is different. The rest of the book is for how we get our lives back. And I want to ask you to talk a little bit about coping. See, that isn't that a term we use all the time in psychology and hypnotherapy, like coping? And like nobody really knows what it means. But there is a physical aftermath. I experienced it. My body stopped working. it just stopped. And then it catapulted from there. This is a great chapter. Why was this important to really address the physical? Because very few books do. They want us to go to a different, more, but this is like, okay, physical.
Yes. Well, I'm a nurse, and so of course that was very important to me.
Yeah.
But when we experience a great loss, every part of us is affected, our physical body, our psychological self, and our spiritual self. We're all affected. Physically, in the first up to 6 years following a great loss, you are more likely to experience an accident or an illness. And I have been tracking among my patients what happens after great losses, and I see about an 80% incidence of serious illnesses occurring after a great loss has been experienced. Therefore, I stress strongly in my book, you pay attention to your health during this period. Don't let symptoms go by, and really watch what you're doing. So we need to go through some physical healing. We need to eat right. We need to get plenty of sleep and rest. We need to get back to exercising, and we need to give ourselves plenty of rest, plenty of time. But all of those things are probably going to be affected after we experience a great loss. And it may take us some time to get back to normal in all those areas and to really feel comfortable in our own skin. So we need to watch that very carefully. There are also some other things to watch for. If we have any kind of anxiety or symptom, we may experience something I describe in the book as broken heart syndrome. What that is it's actually created from a weakness in the heart muscle that's temporary that can be associated with grieving. It's not really serious. It usually goes away on its own, but it can look and feel like a heart attack, and it should not be ignored, because it might be, but chances are it's broken heart syndrome. So we need to really pay attention to our physical needs during this time. Secondly, our psychological systems are very affected with loss. There's an strong incidence of free-floating anxiety after we experience a loss. And also, it changes all of our relationships. The reason it does is we're not the same people that we were before we experienced the great loss. And for some of the people in our lives, they'll adapt to that fairly easily. Others may have kind of a hard time with it, and it may take some time to readjust. You may just find that certain people are no longer in your life, and you may see new people coming in because of the changes that you've made. Mm. Psychologically, we have a lot of adjustment to do. And one of the big things is when we experience a great loss, it brings up every loss that we've experienced in the past that we have not fully healed. So in essence, we're being given an opportunity to truly heal from loss. And we should take the time and make the effort to do that healing.
I love to, and thank you for that. I love that you share stories in the book. You know, because it's one thing to talk about something and there's another thing to read about it. I was reading about the potential for accidents, and I was struck by a couple of things. I was struck by the number of car accidents that I've gotten into after a loss, and then with Linda, the accident she had. And even though they were hard to explain and maybe something happened that you can't explain, they still happen. But the one part of the book that is a real problem for people now, like whatever people experienced through COVID-19 and the losses around that, everything from people in ways that you never thought you would lose a loved one behind a glass door. Never thought that. to jobs, to home situations. But here's the thing, sleeping problems. Oh, my goodness. Who is not having them?
Yes. Sleep can be disrupted for years after a loss. And it's something that we need to really address, because lack of sleep carries with it the possibility of creating new health problems.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we need to do is really address healing, which will cut down on some of the anxiety we're experiencing, and it will help us in terms of going back to better sleep habits.
One of the things that you address here also in this chapter, and I need to mention it because it goes undiagnosed and people think they blow it off. They just say, well, I've been through a lot. And boy, I'll tell you, I think it's at epidemic proportions, and it is fatigue.
Yeah.
You don't ignore it. I mean, you take it head on and you really talk about, like, look, your doctor may say to you, you know what, you're just getting a little bit older, or I'm sorry, I don't know that fatigue should be part of the living equation, right?
I absolutely agree. It takes a tremendous amount of energy to deal and cope with grief. And most people who experience a great loss experience fatigue for as long as 2 to 3 years following the loss.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're almost like we're in this catch-22 chicken and the egg situation. Psychological effects, physical effects, emotional effects. You know, the point is that they all intertwined. And I want to talk a little bit now about what you talk about in your book, about coping with the psychological aftermath, because clearly these are things that if people are aware of them, even if you don't show physical symptoms, there are other things. You talk about what we can do with anxiety. You talk about relaxation techniques and approaches. But
yeah.
Boy, we don't want to face our psychological aftermath. I will tell you that. That is like the we'll look in the mirror and say, oh, I gained about 10 pounds. But boy, to look in the mirror and say, I'm feeling anxious, that is a giant roadblock for people.
Yes. Yes. That is definitely true. We experience a great deal of anxiety, fatigue. We're just not ourselves. And yes, relaxation is very important during this period. And one of the big things that we need to do that we probably don't want to do, but it's good for us, is we need to take some quiet, alone time. We need to take quite a bit of it, actually, because we need time to sort through all the many thoughts that are flowing through our minds and to cope with the feelings that are coming up for us. In my book, I suggest a number of techniques, but one of the things that I think is very helpful is to take quiet time, relax, write down your feelings. And I think that can help to allay some of the anxiety that you're feeling and help you reconnect with your inner guidance and find a pathway for the future.
You know, one of the things I jumped to, you know, even in that conversation and what you suggest in the book, is I really jumped to something that I wanted to hear your perspective on, it because you wrote about it so well. And you wrote about it in a multidimensional way, and that is reformulating our identity. It is, most people don't know that is even an option for them. And boy, it is a missing link in so much. You know, Linda would talk about, she would take a look at me on days and the only word she could come up with was floundering. And I'm not a flounderer, but my identity took a hit, right?
Yeah.
When you lose a job after 25 years, if you don't think your identity is going to take a hit, oh boy, right?
Yes.
Can you talk about this part? Because you go on to talk about it, everything from readjusting relationships, but then you bring in confidence. And I was so surprised you included it. Can you talk to this and how important this is now?
Yes, I think what happens to us when we experience a great loss is we not only become anxious, fatigued, not feeling comfortable in our own skin. Our relationships change. It seems that everything falls apart after we've experienced a great loss. So we lose confidence. It seems as if the world that we thought we understood does not work exactly the way we thought it did. And we lose confidence in our judgment. We lose confidence in our ability to make ourselves happy. We feel lost in terms of what it is we want to work for now, because our goals that we may have had before have to be readjusted after a great loss. We don't know who we are anymore. So the big thing that we need to do is reconnect with our real inner selves. We need to take quiet time to do that. I suggest a number of things in my book. I mentioned the journaling. I think we also need to spend time in nature. We need to spend time remembering those things that we used to love, doing some of the things that were once important to us that we just let go along the way. We need to give ourselves what I call in the book extreme self-care. Yeah. Yeah. We need to have the foods we like to eat. We need to take long, luxurious baths. We need to curl up and read a book if that's something we like to do. We need to give ourselves the experiences that really make us feel comfortable and happy.
Yeah. I there are two things I want to really, you know, talk about that you mentioned. One is you refer to it as maximum self-care. But then before we bring this full circle to talk about healing wounds, you also say we have to reconnect with our higher selves, with the higher self and a higher self energy.
Yes.
And it sounds great, and it's really hard for people to do, because after a loss, we do go back to the why me and why did you do that to me, right? You promised, and we're talking to our higher self. But one of the things you say is we have to get back to that connection.
Yes. And some of us may never have had it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I hadn't thought of that yet. You're absolutely right.
You know, yes, I think that's definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
From Dr. Newton's work, we know that we're souls who come here to experience life by joining with a human body. So we become integrated, but we forget that we're a soul, and we think that our existence here on Earth is really all there is.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we bring a lot of our soul energy with us, and it's that inner voice inside that's constantly speaking to us. But we get so busy and so distracted and so into what's going on the outside that we fail to listen to what's going on the inside. So quiet time is absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. Taking time to be quiet and listen to what's being said on the inside. I recommend things like listening to music, meditating, spending just quiet time by yourself, doing things that you love quietly. Those are all times when your inner voice can break through.
Mm. Yeah, I do a show. Unusual for me to do a show with another host, but got the idea about 2 years ago to do a show with Mark Anthony, and it's called The Psychic and the Doc. And Mark is the after-like guru. And so we do that show. So I was thrilled when I got towards the end of the book for your conversation in the book about establishing afterlife communication, because so often you hear people say, I don't know, I was just laying in bed and my dad just showed up. And rather than know what to do with that, they think they're losing their mind, but they may not. Talk about the importance of, and you know, this was purposely included this in the latter part of the book. Tell me about your thinking on that and the insignificance.
Well, the first thing I need to say is if we lost a loved one, they didn't die. They're still very much alive. They retain their personality in the afterlife, and they are wanting to connect with you and still be part of your life. first of all, they might show you signs that they're around. You might have felt them around. Some people actually see visions of them. That's more rare. But you may have things happen, such as finding feathers or coins, or you might feel their energy. But it's also possible to go further than that. You can actually regain communication with them. Probably one of the first things that happens is you might have a dream visitation. You may have a dream where they come through, and it's so real. When you wake up, you almost thought it was real, and you're surprised that it's not. It's that vivid. And it's something you may remember, not just for days, but weeks, months, even years. Also, it is possible there are now methods, many methods, for establishing, reestablishing communication.
Yeah.
You can actually have conversations with your loved ones now.
Yeah.
You can do so telepathically, or there are now many electronic voice phenomena techniques for communicating with our lost loved ones. I touch on that briefly in the book and lead you to some resources if that's something you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to say that during past life regressions and life between life sessions, I do many of these with people who have lost a loved one, and we almost always connect with that lost loved one during the sessions.
Past life regression is so powerful. You know, I began the process. It's on my list to continue this year. And, you know, I began the process a number of years ago being really quite skeptical. But I think when somebody like me is at the bottom and you think you've tried everything else, you know, and somebody says, have you looked at this? Have you checked on maybe some of the things you're carrying forward? But it all leads to the conversation that we started with, and that is finding your lessons.
Yes.
In all of this, doesn't it?
Yes. There actually is a reason for the losses that we experience.
Yeah.
We come to Earth with a plan. That plan includes what we want to experience and what we want to learn. We even plan the people that we bring with us. So all of that is pre-planned. But we have free will once we get here. We may follow the plans, we may not. So our experiences may vary a bit, but the idea...
Mm-hmm.
is we came here to learn and to grow and to enjoy ourselves. So there is a lesson embedded within our great loss. And in my book, I detail how to go about finding what that lesson might be. But let me say that the first step in that is to look at your life before the loss occurred and ask yourself, what was great about it, but what might have been missing? What might you have wanted to be a bit better? And also look at the challenges that were facing you. What areas were really giving you trouble? What did you need to do to decrease some of those problems, to face some of those challenges?
Mm. You know, I want to just ask you to comment on this. You know, I grew up with a mom who was from the Deep South, kind of your area there a little bit. First child at 12, second at 13, because that's just what you did. And she was always filled with things, words of wisdom. But one of the things she was very clear about was that, one, you'll never be put down at a place that was worse than where you were. So her idea was, you're going through something now, but there's the pot of gold at the other end of the rainbow. And sometimes, you know, she would never say it to us girls in the middle of some really horrific thing. It would come up like, I don't know when, but she was smart about that. The other thing she would say is to always look for the clues of what you're meant to learn. Always look for the clues. And I think everything that you've described in your book and really featuring the perspective of Dr. Michael Newton and so much more is going to help people know that there is a way to regain your light, to regain your authentic self. And I wanted to thank you for that, Dr. Ann. Thank you so much for all of it.
Thank you. This was a work of my heart.
No kidding. I know it is. And I didn't even get to everything in here. You know, you're a practicing spiritual hypnotherapist, but you're much more than that. You know, you can always tell somebody that has studied this, that has researched it, and the stories that you embedded in the book really, you know, showed or demonstrated. So, again, tell folks how they can get a copy of the book and how they can find out more about you.
They can go to Llewellyn.com, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Any bookstore will carry it. There is an ebook, a paperback, and an audiobook available. You can reach me at www.birminghamhypnosis.com. My email address is hypno, hypnoannclark, @gmail.com. And I welcome feedback and contact.
Well, I want to thank you for this. Also, what's your personal message, Dr. Ann? What would you like to leave us with today, please?
There was a reason for your loss, and there's a gift beyond the loss. You just have to move toward it.
For those of you out there, if you've missed any part of this, this is Dr. Ann Clark. The book is Healing from Great Loss, Facing Pain and Grief to Recover Your Authentic Self. And, you know, this is the gap that we find in the field that we are both in, but it is a gap that we find a lot of times in the conversation about loss. It is that gap that gives us permission to become our true selves again, not to suffer, but to really claim those parts of us that we almost inevitably think we have to give up. Dr. Ann, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Benny, thank you. Jacob, thank you. Olivia, thank you. And to all of you out there, I know this is on your mind. I know it is. There are no mistakes with what Linda schedules on the shows. I know this is on your mind. And the audio book as well is just cool. We like to do that in the car. But this, whatever you've gone through these past 24, 30 months, this will help you. This will help you know that you have the right, even at the significant loss, to be your authentic self, to hold your head up high, to be that person that's confident and life purpose in the world. Thank you all. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Christine Clark's in the house. I'm telling you, get ready to make contact. We'll see you next time.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Hey, and good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the south. We have over on I-5 northbound at Mossels 122, a disabled vehicle near Berkeley Street Southwest. Westbound on the south end, the right lane has been blocked. 405 northbound is still heavy. A stop and go issue there. Looks like around Newcastle area. Construction zone, but it's moved out on the other side towards the I-90. Well, that's all right. Stay tuned because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Forging a Life with Coach Christine.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson believes the right to terminate a pregnancy is settled law in the U.S.
In order to revisit, the Supreme Court looks at various factors because stare decisis is a very important principle.
Testifying in her Senate confirmation hearing, Jackson said federal laws allowing abortion have been reaffirmed by the Supreme Court. The current Supreme Court is now considering a restrictive Mississippi abortion law that could overturn Roe v. Wade, a landmark 1973 ruling that led to the legalization of abortion in the U.S. The ruling is expected in late June. The American Jewish Committee is supporting efforts to help refugees fleeing Ukraine. Bill Trefiro spoke with one of the leaders in Warsaw, risking his life to save others.
Sebastian Rejuk is the director of the American Jewish Committee Central Europe. We spoke with him while he was in Poland, but he's been crossing into Ukraine and says almost every minute he's there,
a Ukrainian person comes up to you and asks, can you give me a lift?
Well, they've been doing that in spades, raising more than $1.7 million to help refugees. Rejuk says the stories compel him to help.
And the family that I was traveling back to Warsaw with in the same minivan, they were two parents and three small children. They also have three grown-up sons fighting for their country.
I'm Bill Trefiro.
There's clear evidence Russia targeted numerous places in Ukraine, including hospitals and places where folks were taking shelter. That's according to a U.S. defense official. That same person also said Russian forces may be committing war crimes based on indications of behavior on the ground. President Biden last week labeled Russian President Vladimir Putin a war criminal for what has happened in Ukraine. There have been no survivors found after a China Eastern Airlines plane crash Monday. The Boeing 737 was carrying 132 people when it crashed in a remote mountainous region in the southern part of the country. The cause of the crash has not been discovered, and officials have not released any other information regarding casualties. The so-called black boxes of the aircraft have not yet been recovered. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Your historically low mortgage rates may not last forever. If you're in the market for a new home or your dream home, go with a lender you can count on. For competitive rates, over 300 loan products and thousands of loan consultants to help make sure you get the home and the mortgage that you want. Call now to see if you're pre-approved. 866-888-LOAN. 866-888-LOAN. Or go to LoanDepot.com. Loan Depot, where home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Equal housing opportunity lender. And NMLS number 174457. Licensed in all 50 states.
Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers with Windows 11 Pro and get an easy start to your workday. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
This is a test. This is only a test of the emergency alert system in Washington State issued by the Washington State Emergency Operations Center. In the event of an emergency, this system would bring you important information. The following tones will conclude this test from the Washington State Emergency Operations Center.
Those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny with Coach Christine Clark. Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your very being is softened by fire as you take hits that shape you. Christine is a transformational life coach dedicated to empowering entrepreneurs to create a whole life success on their terms. On this show, you will be forged into a magnificent, powerful, highly functional work of art that is your significant life. Now, here's your host, Christine Clark.
Join me, Coach Christine Clark, as we forge our lives. We are going to go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Who will you be when you believe you have what it takes?
Hello, hello, and this is Coach Christine Clark. Delighted to be with you today, and thank you all for being here. Hello, Benny. Hello, Jacob. Hello, Olivia. Thank you for being here with me. This is Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny. And today we're going to talk about contact. You know, nothing happens until you make contact. And in the construction of a beautiful katana, the hammer has to make contact with the steel to shape it, to form it, to bring it to fruition. And it's the same thing in our lives. We have to make contact with our purpose, with our intentions, and with each other in order to move forward and have flow. So what does it mean for you to have contact? When are you connected to your purpose, and when are you in flow, and when are you not? What gets in the way? Those are all the things we're going to talk about today. I want to remind you that we have a retreat coming up, Blaze Retreat, in September from the 22nd to the 25th. This is going to be a full immersion transformational retreat. We're going to set intentions. We're going to look at what's current. We're going to clear the blocks and send you on your way as a new formation. One of the wonderful, exciting, fun things we're going to get to do in the retreat is everyone is going to have the opportunity to forge. You're going to put metal in the furnace, you're going to pull it out, you're going to get a hammer on it and create a work of art of your own to take home. So put it on your calendars for September 22nd to 25th right here in Iowa at the beautiful Stony Point Retreat Center. And also for this show, always there is a opportunity to get coaching, a laser coaching program, multiple sessions. So this is exclusive to listeners of Transformation Talk Radio. It is available now. Send me an email with your name, your phone number, and your email address, and send it to Christine at sunglowtransformation.com. Someone's going to earn a free laser coaching program to shake loose whatever is holding you back and just move some blocks so you can move forward in your life. And it's wonderful that I've had such a fantastic time working with so many of you. It's exciting to me to work with the listeners of Transformation Talk Radio. So put your name in, and you have until the end of the month, March 31, to do that. And then you can have a wonderful one-on-one personal coaching. Now, what I want to talk about, so when we stay in motion, when we have flow, when we have balance, you know, everything comes together, and we know beyond a doubt that we have what it takes. So this is what we're talking about today, is having contact, being able to be in flow, be in motion. And when you're in process of your life, I want to just kind of check, see where you are at in forging your own life, in the process of becoming, in the process of creating that destiny that waits for you. So I want to just take a few minutes and let's just check in, see where you are at. You know, in the making of the katana, in the process, there is the initial forging, and then there's the pre-curve, and then there's the grinding, and then there's the thermal cycling. And where are you? Are you in the initial forging, you know, which gives that raw bar of steel, which is just a really nondescript chunk of metal, and it's worked into a point where it indicates that it will eventually be the katana. And when you look at the shape of your life, that where your life has gone, what experiences you've had, you know, do you see the indicators of possibility? Do you see that you are gaining everything you need to know to create and have the life you want? Do you claim your past as the launching pad to that destiny? Or are you looking back and somehow believing it's all wrong? Are you stuck behind bars that are built from regret, from blame, from shame? You know, have you stranded yourself wishing for a better past? Where are you in that process? Maybe you're in the pre-curve. You know, the second heat is the planning ahead. That long, skinny piece is bent into a horseshoe shape. And that is planned so that when the edge is put on, as the edge bevels are made, that blade straightens out. and then it looks very distinctly like a katana. You know, do you have a plan for action, and are you moving along your path? Is each step revealing something next? Then you are in the curve and you're moving along. Or are you stressed out because the actions you're taking are not revealing to you that perfect vision in full bloom that you want? You know, do you want to second guess everything you're doing? Are you feeling a little panicked because time has passed and you're thinking you're behind? When you look at the pre-curve, sometimes we are in the planning and we're taking steps and it's leveling out, and sometimes we're just stuck. Where are you in that process? Maybe you're in the grind, right? The grinding stage. That full, smooth shape of katana is revealed as the hammer tracks are ground away. And what is released is all that is not needed to manifest the katana's beauty and balance. You know, through repetition, trial and error, you know, we smooth out our path to our destiny. You know, can you easily release what does not serve you? You know, I was in a great conversation just this last week with some other coaches, and we meet on Zoom every Monday morning. And one of our gals had been in one of these high-power motivational weekends, and she had been on, I think it was a four-day event. It's 12-hour days, 4 days in a row. And I was thinking to myself, how could you do that and be wiped out? And then as she continued to talk about what she had gleaned, she had gone into the event with really clear intentions about what it was that she was going to get, what she needed. And she had allowed herself through different points to say, I've had enough for today. I'm going to step away from it. Even though she said there was so much that was provided and it was great to be in it, and you had the sense of that, you didn't want to miss a single minute. And yet she was smart enough, chose to step away and spent time in the evening on the deck having a conversation with her son. She had time later where she just went to church on Sunday morning because that was her thing and didn't go, you know, wasn't on that Zoom thing for that period of time. And what I saw in her was the ability to easily pick and choose what was right for her. Do you have that? Can you easily pick and choose what's right for you, what fits? Or do we get hung up on the FOMO, the fear of missing out, what expectations of other people, and do we put on our own self needing to manage everybody else as well as ourselves? So in the grind, when you can release what doesn't serve you, it really smooths things up. Are you hung up on the bumps and the lumps? Is life anything but smooth? There are things that you need to release. There might be people. There might be ideas that we need to let go of in order to create that. How are you doing in that? Is that coming along well, or is it just, you know, not going through? I think I'm going to skip the first break, and we're just going to keep going because I want to keep with this thread. Are you in deep transformation? You know, the fourth step of the katana, it's dipped into molten salt during the thermal cycling. And it's plunged in and it's held in that mini volcano. And then it's pulled out and cooled, and then it's immersed again. And the molecules of the steel actually shift. We're talking about the internal, not the outside. You can't see it with your eyes. You can look under a big electron microscope maybe. But the molecules shift, and they shift from face-centered. If you think about a dice with all the dots on the outside six faces, that's face-centered. and it shifts from face-centered to body-centered. If you think of body-centered, it's like a light cube with the light in the center. Everything's in there. And that shift imbues the blade with its edge-holding ability, its strength, and its resilience, making that katana the elite tool it is. You know, transformation requires fearlessness. If you are in significant struggle or hardship, transformation is occurring, guaranteed. When you choose to openly assess your life, your behaviors, your beliefs, both your limiting beliefs and your empowering beliefs, you're choosing transformation. You know, the shift can carry you to new heights. You can gain resilience. You can gain wisdom. Sometimes when we are in the struggle of life and loss or something significant has happened, there has been trauma, the shift can be sabotaging, and then it sinks you. You know, the creation of the katana is a very orderly process. You know, the smith has this 1,000-foot view, right? He knows exactly what the outcome is going to be, and he is very secure in the process. For us, our lives are not orderly. You know, we can only see from the ground level. We can't get past and look further and know that if we stay here or if we go there, it's going to make the difference. We can only deal with what we have in the moment. And when we do this, so the process of the sword is very step. For us, for our lives, for human beings, we could be in any one of the processes at any time, and sometimes we can be in one more or all of them at the same time. And it's important to remember that no matter where you're at or what's going on, that there are options and there's answers. And knowledge that comes with every stage. So becoming is a process. Stay in the work. Get support. Talk to me, Coach Christine Clark. You know, get an empowerment group. You know, your destiny is just beyond the curve. And you're going to get where you're going. So think about the different stages. Where are you at? Which stage are you in? Or how many are present at the same time? And know that there's answers. There are options and answers and directions that will take you forward. You don't have to be stuck. And life is, the becoming is a process. That's one of the reasons we're doing the retreat. We're going to do that big immersion and deal with all of it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. So I want to go back to the importance of contact. You know, nothing happens unless that hammer contacts the steel. And the contact is where the steel is moved. Contact is where we move, where we grow, where we experience. Contact is being present. Being in the here and being in the now. And it's being intentional. It's being deliberate. It's taking action. You do not have to be under the hammer all the time, but enough contact to stay in motion to create flow. So when you're clear about your purpose and focus on the steps that are right in front of you, then you are in contact. You're moving forward. You can have flow. There's fulfillment. The small successes lead to the large successes. You know, when you do that, when you stay in contact, when you're in flow, then you can access satisfaction. You can access peace, joy, happiness. But I want to talk about, you know, how often is our brain somewhere else while we're seated in front of somebody? You know, preparing for this show, I had worked on an outline, and then it was time for dinner, and I went and I was sitting at dinner across from my husband, and he asked me, he says, "Are you all right? Is there something wrong?" And the truth is, I wasn't present. My head was still back at the desk, working on this show. This is where I was. I was directly in front of him, but I was not there. And he saw it, and he knew it. So how often does we get distracted? We're not where we are. We're somewhere else. When we are somewhere else in our head, then we're not in contact. You know, I love watching movies, and the Guardians of the Galaxy, there's a scene that I just laughed out loud. They're doing, everybody's kind of around in a group, they're doing some mission planning, and the character Drax makes some sort of comment, and the response is, we just covered that, or weren't you here? And he admits out loud, I wasn't listening. I was thinking of somebody, something else. It's like, how often do we do that? I wasn't listening. I was thinking of something else. So we miss out when we're not present. And so that is, being present is simply having awareness and being there so you can fully invest in what you're doing, not just the people in front of you, those conversations, but being in the moment as you work through your day, as you make the steps that you have to make to create what you want to create. You know, sometimes disconnecting is an emotional tool, and it can be beneficial sometimes to disconnect. One of the reasons that we do disconnect is emotional overload. And I think about, you know, even the last 2 years, we have been bombarded with constant and repeated exposure to stressful situations, traumatic events. You know, the pandemic has infused our lives with anxiety and fear for 2 years. I remember St. Patrick's Day, 2020, and it was a day here in Iowa when the governor closed down the state. I had had a coffee appointment at 10 o'clock in the morning that day. I walked out of Panera at 11 a.m., and I was totally unaware that the doors were closing and locking behind me, not just at Panera, but at every restaurant, every pub, every cafe in the state. And I thought about all those establishments that had prepared with their supplies and brought stuff in and had done the prep work to serve the crowds of St. Patrick's Day and the financial loss that they endured. But more than that, it was a total shift of normal and the anomaly of society shutting down. How discombobulating, how incredulous, and the anxiety and the stress and the fear, you know, that has set us. And that was like the setup, because then, like, it became a daily thing. Every single day, there was repeated trauma, fear, fear, fear. We are moving out of that, and yet a lot of it is still present. We're going to have a time of recovery to shut down and to step back, to disconnect, is survival, really. Currently, we have Russia's invasion of Ukraine. There are political battles, racial injustices, natural disasters. All of it can seem overwhelming. And really, it's too much to deal with because we don't have control. And yet we're receiving the information and it's coming in. It can lead to physical exhaustion and mental fatigue. So disconnecting from the media, from TV news, from radio, from newspapers is survival. And when you can remove yourself from that bombardment, then you have the opportunity to recenter, focus on what's important, focus on the people around you, find the good and the wonderfulness, and that will increase happiness. It'll increase energy and it'll improve your sleep. So one of the ways that we disconnect is healthy, by protection. Monitor how much you are letting in from the outside. How is that serving you? Is it serving you? And if it's not, take a break. Shut it down. You know, our inner critic is another piece. It's ruthless and it's brutal, and it will slow us down and it shuts us down. The less contact you have with your inner critic, the better. When your inner critic is shouting in your ear that whatever it is you're doing is not enough, it's not good enough, it isn't perfect enough, look at everybody else, how wonderful everything else they are showing is, everybody's highlight reel is, you're comparing that to your own day-to-day ups and downs. Tell your inner critic, enough, enough. I am doing the best I can with the information and knowledge I have, and it's enough, and I'm enough. You know, a client that I walked through just recently, she is entrepreneur. She has dual businesses that are doing very well. She has been focused on her health, and she works out, and she has exercises. She eats healthily, and she's really doing fantastic. In our last session, there was all of this unhappiness that had come in to her awareness that told her she was playing small, that told her her businesses weren't enough, that in what she was doing was she had spent a little too much time on social media, looking at everybody else's wonderfulness and highlight reel, and had judged their glow and shine to her every day, and decided that it wasn't, that she wasn't measuring up. And we had to walk through that by having her describe what is success to her. And the truth is, she is hitting every single one of her own markers for success. And so we have to disconnect from the idea, the comparison that everybody else is doing better. Because the truth is, we are all in this. So it becomes a choice on how to pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Contact, staying in your own lane, focusing on what's in front of you. That's the exciting part. When we pay too much attention to that stuff that's outside of us that is not serving us, then we have to cut the cord. Removing what negatively impacts us improves our lives, and it improves our contact. When your brain is not just taking up so much frickin' time trying to judge what you're doing and what you're not doing, then, poof, what openness you can have. Let go of that, and then you can focus on what's in front of you and what's good and right and whole. It's wonderful. So how do you avoid contact, right? How do we get in our own way and avoid contact? What does it mean to avoid contact? What are the things that keep us from having the contact that creates the life we want? Those are the questions that we'll answer when we come back from this break. I'm Coach Christine Clark. My company is SunGlow Transformation. You can find me on sunglowtransformation.com. Look for me on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook, Dean Clark, and also SunGlow Transformation. Remember to put your name in for the Blaze in 2022 laser coaching program that can be yours, and work one-on-one with me to move yourself forward this year. We'll be right back after this break.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light Show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge has led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.com. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earth bound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
How do we disconnect? How do we move or avoid contact or get out of contact when we want to be in contact? You know, we as human beings just have a great propensity to disconnect. And when we disconnect, then we slide backwards. We can get stuck. We blind ourselves from seeing the options. And there's a lot of different ways that we unintentionally sabotage ourselves. One way is when we catastrophize into the future, when we move from being present to jumping forward into the worst possible case scenario. And I think as a mom with my sons growing up, I got really good at catastrophizing into the future, worrying about what's going to happen as the kids leave and get more active and start driving and all of those things. It doesn't serve us, and what we catastrophize rarely, rarely happens. And whether it happens or not, we miss the point that we have the wherewithal to deal with whatever might come. Went out to run errands yesterday and got a text message from my husband that he was also running errands and wanted to meet for lunch. Great, let's do that. So we met for lunch. And as we were parting ways, it was a gorgeous day here in Iowa. We hit 70 degrees. He rode his motorcycle in to run his errands and to meet me for lunch. And so he's driving off on his motorcycle. And as I'm leaving the parking lot and my husband's on the motorcycle, I had that thought that not every driver here, seize motorcycles. And what would happen if something happened to him? And then, of course, the cascade of all the oh no's and what they'd have to deal with. And luckily, through lots of training, I was able to say, hold it, stop, done. Say a prayer, ask the universe to protect him, and let it go. Clear the head, get back in my own lane, focus on what's in front of me. We do this, and we can stop doing that by just pausing and saying, whew, that was a ride. Let's leave that one off. One of the other ways that we can disconnect is we can get caught up in how awful. You know, the overwhelm of managing life, and we already talked about just disconnecting from all the input so that you can get back to center. When we swim in the waters of all that's horrible, then we are subject to sadness, we're subject to depression, we are subject to just looking at life through really dark lenses rather than looking at the possibilities. So when you get caught up in the how awful everything is or how awful something else is or the overwhelm, we are disconnecting from what's present and going down a path that doesn't lead to anywhere wonderful, doesn't lead to anywhere empowering. We can do this sometimes when we relive past disappointments. Something fantastic can happen in your life. Like even simple, like, you know, making a meal and serving the meal and having the meal and having people go, oh, this is great, this tastes so good. And instead of saying, yes, this is wonderful, I'm enjoying this so much, we go and we start tallying everything that didn't go right while you were chopping up stuff and making stuff, what mistake you made with the recipe and how you had to, you know, pull a rabbit out of your hat to make this all come together. That's reliving the past, going into the disappointments, living in the how awful. It doesn't serve us. So learn to recognize that. All of this is about awareness. Then there are discounting our actions and abilities. We so easily, as human beings, like to poo-poo our progress, right? We have a great day. We have done wonderful things. We have gotten out of bed. We've gotten ready for the day. We showed up at work. We're putting our best self out there. We're making our phone calls. We're connecting with people for coffee appointments. We're building our business, posting on social media, doing all these things that are normal and great. And yet we look at all that and say that doesn't count. It doesn't count that I did all that because normal people would do all that. That's not a big deal. But that moves you from, that disconnects you from everything that you're doing on a daily basis, which is wonderful and heroic. So don't poo-poo the progress. And I challenge you, all of you, to go home today and look in the mirror and address yourself in first person and tell yourself, wow, Christine, don't say Christine, say your own name. I am so proud of you for everything you did. I'm so proud of you for showing up today. I'm so proud of you for sending that email. I'm so proud of you for having that tough conversation. I'm so proud of you for sitting down and working, you know, doing the books and getting caught up on your financial stuff. I'm so proud of you. And just go ahead and list the things that you have done in the day. That's connecting to your magnificence, your greatness. Don't poo-poo the progress. Connect. One of the ways that we become unconnected is through isolation. There's a lot of different ways that we do this. Sometimes isolation is just that idea about I need to do it myself, right? I'm going to do it all by myself. I don't want anybody's support. I don't want anybody to have to do X, Y, or Z. And when we put it all on our own plate and we hoard it on our own plate, that leads to overwhelm.
And it's not connecting us to something that could be better. When you open yourself up to have other people come in and provide a perspective that can have an idea, that can share something, you can share something with them. Have them a sounding board, have an accountability partner, then you are going to move forward so much faster. Isolating yourself and holding it all in, believing that you're the only person who can do X or Y or Z, that actually stifles what is possible. It slows you down. One of the ways we isolate is through holding in our emotions, being closed off. And emotions are probably one of the most authentic things about us. And our authenticity comes because emotions come from our core, come from our roots. And when they well up, whatever they are, whether they're happy and excited, and, oh, this is fantastic, I love this, or it's sad, it's hurtful, and it's emotional, and there's tears, and I'm feeling this so much. Let it out. When you let it flow through you, when you express it, you're in contact. When you shut it down, tamp it down, put the lid on it, shake up that soda bottle, nothing good's going to come from that. When you are closed off and isolated and holding in those emotions, you are disconnected. You're disconnected from what's truly real, and you're setting yourself up for an explosion. You know, human contact, as we have seen, is so essential to open yourself up to being able to be present with people in person, have that handshake, have that hug, do those exchanges. There is nothing in this world like being in with people, in person with people. It is lovely. We're tribal at our roots. We are not one of the species that evolved all by itself. You know, we evolved in groups, people. And so having contact is one of the ways that is really important. When you isolate yourself, you're not answering to what is inherent in your body. Sometimes when we disconnect, we cling to our plans. We cling to our agendas. And when we cling to that, we are disconnected. You know, planning the day is fantastic. It's great. You want to hold on to a plan. Just because it's a plan can't be sabotaging. So I plan my day to get out the door. And I was getting out the door a little later, and I had it all laid out. I was going to do step, and then realized that it's not going to work out that way because I have a coffee appointment, and the two stops I was going to make before the coffee appointment aren't going to work. But I realized, I started stressing myself out, but I realized that the only appointment was the coffee appointment, and all the other stops could go around it. And I shifted into that mode. Then I was able to relax and go with the flow. When we come back, we're going to talk about what does it mean to demand perfection and how to look at sitting on ourselves in the light of a current circumstance so we can get reconnected. This is Coach Christine Clark. This is Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, Calling in Your Unique Destiny. We will be right back after this break.
We are courageously expanding love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit ElizabethAnnCunningham.com and subscribe.
Are you feeling feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at EllenWyomingDeloy.com. Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sands. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, dash I-T-Y.com.
Hey, this is Coach Christine Clark. Welcome back. You know, one of the ways that we get ourselves out of being connected to our day, to our purpose, to our work, to the people around us, is demanding perfection. We demand perfection of ourselves. Sometimes we demand perfection of the people around us. And that demand for things to be flawless really nullifies our growth and shortchanges our expansion. We override what could be, and sometimes we don't even put things out. Like we're always in creation mode. We're always in adding to, subtracting from, editing, and we don't dare put anything out into the world until it is perfect, and then we can put it out in the world. And the truth is that nothing perfect gets out the first time. You have to put it out there and then put it out there again and then do it again and get some feedback and get some perspective and continue to work. And no matter what it is that you're putting out into the world, it will evolve, but it only evolves when it's in action. And when you hold it in and put it in a box and perfect it and don't ever want to let go until it's going to be awesome, then you are shortchanging both the work and, of course, you're delaying putting it out there. You're delaying letting the people that are needing, that are waiting, that are wanting what you have, they have to wait until you get it perfect to put it out there when they could be having the evolving product, and they would be evolving their own lives alongside it. One of the other things that we do is we should, and we do this shoulding on our current circumstance. We look at what is going on in life, and we judge that what is happening right now here in our lives, in our work, in our relationships shouldn't be this way. And I've heard it. I've heard, maybe you've heard this too. Have you ever heard somebody say, this shouldn't be happening to me, right? I shouldn't have to go through this. Why should we have to deal with this? And we're deciding that whatever is inappropriate, was somehow a mistake. In the really the side of this is when we decide to ask the question, why? This shouldn't be happening, or we ask why this is happening. Because when you ask why, your brilliant, amazing, magnificent, huge brain is going to go back through your entire life and give you every single reason why, every mistake you made, every judgment call that wasn't good, and say all of this added up to why this is happening now. It's not helpful. But if you are in the circumstance and you ask, how can I get out of this? When you ask how, all of a sudden that powerful, amazing, spectacular brain will go on a research mission to figure out what are your options? How can we shift? Who is here? What other questions can we ask? Is there a door we haven't opened yet? How can I get out? Neither question can be asked, though, if you are in this energy of whatever is shouldn't be. And when you're in contact, you recognize that your circumstance is your circumstance. This is. Regardless of what I want, this is. And then you can move forward. You can deal with it. But as long as you're deciding that what is shouldn't be, you're not dealing with it. You're not in contact. Another way that we can lose a little contact is control issues. Me, hope there's somebody else out there with the same thing. Control issues. We want to control everything. We want to control so much of our lives. And sometimes we spend so much time trying to control things that are not in our control, that are outside of our control, that we cannot dictate what other people do or don't do. We cannot dictate or control the weather. We cannot dictate what's happening on a bigger scale in the world. And wanting to have that control or spending too much time on things that are totally outside our control is a distraction. And you want to be able to let go of those bigger things and only work on what you have control of, which is basically you. You can only control what you say and what you do. And when you focus your energies on this piece right here, me, how can I show up? How do I operate to be able to have the connections I want, to be able to grow my business the way I want? What can I do? So you work on going ahead and dealing with what you have control over. Because when you expand it to wanting to have control over a greater amount of things, you lose out because you can't control it, and it does become just a distraction. So staying in contact is simply having awareness, recognizing when you are in a spiral, when you're disconnecting, and then making a choice. Our brain processes millions of thoughts and calculations every single minute, and it gives us the ability to pay attention to thousands of things, which is not helpful. It also lets us realize, see what's going on around us, paying attention to the people, the facial expressions, the energy, what's in the room, and look at what you're doing on a daily basis. One of the great ways of being able to stay in contact is just knowing yourself, knowing your values, knowing how you work. What type of flow do I have in my day? When do I have more energy? When are my creative juices going? When do I need downtime? What are my energy levels? Looking at that helps you be able to stay in contact with your day by working in accordance with what suits you, what aligns with you physically, mentally, emotionally. Your physical well-being can dramatically impact your ability to stay in contact with your desired day. So do the basics, hydration, meditation, exercise, yoga. Do those things. And as much as possible, choose one thing at a time. Yes, you can have a list of agenda. Do one and then do the next and then do the next after that. And you will get through your day. If you stay connected to each piece as it comes in, then you're moving forward and you are getting where you want to go. When my children were smaller, they would come into the office as I was working, and I learned to stop what I was doing, turn and face them, and listen to whatever it is that they were talking about, to be totally focused on them. And then when the conversation was done, I could come back and work. But you can't do both. So look at what's in front of you, pick, and stay connected one piece at a time. Having a support system is absolutely vital to being in contact, whether it's a coach, an accountability partner, an empowerment team, you know, a sounding board so that you can have honest feedback. All of those pieces help us stay connected to our work, to our environment, to our relationships. So that's what you want to be able to do, is find those people that can support you in staying in contact. You know, when the hammer connects to the steel, a magnificently highly functional work of art emerges. And when we have regular daily contact with our purpose, a significant life develops. We stay in motion. We're in flow. We're in balance. Everything comes together, and we know beyond a doubt that we have what it takes. I'm Coach Christine Clark. This is Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny. Remember to put your name in for the laser coaching program that is free to all our listeners, and put the Blaze Retreat in September 22nd to 25th on your calendar. Until next month, keep on hammering. You've got this.
Thanks for tuning in to Forging a Life with Christine Clark. Remember to acknowledge your talents and skills. Your gifts are the elements needed to claim the life of your dreams. Believe you have what it takes to forge the life you want. Through intuition, trusting yourself, and the process, take action and call your life into a vibrant, beautifully lit existence aligned with your core self. To learn more or work with Christine, visit SunGlow Transform.